Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk. My name is Michael Loft. That's L-A-U-F, or loud and usually funny. Serotalk, Serotalk.com, is a portal where you will find this podcast published twice each month, an interactive blog, links to awesome software and online resources, and much more. But best of all, you will be shaping the direction, not only of this podcast, but also the Serotalk.com portal through sharing your personal experiences. We hope, at the very least, that you will bookmark Serotalk.com and come back often. Now, Sero, S-E-R-O, means to connect, and we hope you will. Today we're going to let you meet the staff via our new voice chat technology that we've deployed, and also talk about 10 new exciting features in version 3.0. I want to introduce most of the staff, at least the people that you will be likely to speak with if you call in. So with that, we're going to show you the great power of our voice chat technology that we've deployed. Mike Calvo, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? This is a great feature for us at Serotech because it allows us to communicate in a broadcast quality fashion, not only with one another, but with you guys listening to the podcast. And best of all, if you are a member of our community, you are able to also participate in the chat services and chat system that we've just deployed recently as part of our 3.0 rollout.
What I'm really excited about is, A, it's very versatile. In other words, we can have chat rooms where all people can speak simultaneously, full duplex. So if people are gaming and doing things where they need their hands free, that capability is there. And you have the option, unlike any other chat rooms I've seen, to choose when you go into the chat room, do you want the full duplex or do you want to be able to push a key before your audio is transmitted? So it's a very awesome technology. As you can tell from this podcast, it sounds absolutely marvelous. So
marvelous, darling, marvelous. And actually, that was a design feature that is really important, because sometimes you get into these chat rooms and people got their speakers echoing, and while the codec that we're using is great, it is not as robust, quite candidly, as something like Skype, where you are eliminating a lot of the background noise cancellation that Skype does. And we're working on that continuously to try and make it better.
Let everyone be able to associate a name with a voice. Richard, why don't you say hello there?
Hello there, and my name is Richard Wells, and I'm down here in Northeast Texas, which is about 114 miles northeast of Dallas.
Brian, why don't you say hello? A lot of people have talked to Brian at one time or another.
This is Brian. You often will hear me when you call, or I'm the first voice that you actually hear. Been working for Serotech since we started back in 2001. That's me. I range from Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, is where I call home right now.
Okay, let's have Raymond, our newest, I believe the newest person here with the organization. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Actually, I think you're newest, Michael.
No, he's old. He's been around here forever.
He's both newest, so yeah. he represents both ends of the spectrum at the same time.
Yeah, Michael's been working with us for years, actually, as our content director. He's been volunteering for many, many years, and it's been a pleasure to bring him on board now and torment him. I mean, work with him on a daily basis, creating the Serotech, the System Access Mobile Network experience, and all the other cool things that he's going to be doing throughout the next few months to really enhance the network and the user's experience. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself there, Raymond?
Well, thank you, Mike. And yes, Raymond Bishop, and I'll be one of those that you talk to when you call in for customer service, when you have questions or... And I hide over here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Ricky does impersonations, but I haven't been able to talk her into doing a Sarah Palin yet, but she can do a variety of voices.
Yeah, no Sarah Palin at the moment, but I don't know if entertain is the right word, but when everybody's having a bad day, I will call and do an impression of somebody and get a laugh out of them, whether it's just okay, if I laugh, she'll hang up and I can get back to what I was doing. I haven't said much about myself. I've let everybody else pick on me, but I'll just briefly talk about who I am and what I do. I'm in North Carolina, and or North Carolina for those of you that are natives, and I do enterprise sales and support, as well as whip the team into shape and call them and yell at them when necessary and that kind of thing. So I get to do quite a lot, and I love every minute of it.
Then we've got over there live from Kansas, we've got the beast in the basement who's quiet, the man responsible for putting all this software out when we get those wonderful phone calls when people find the hard-to-find but still findable bug. We've got Matt Campbell over there in Wichita, and Matt is, of course, a valuable asset to us. We love you dearly, Matt. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about you?
I'm Matt Campbell. I'm the lead programmer for Saratech, and I do live in Wichita, Kansas, currently working in a basement. So they call me the beast in the basement. And I've been working for Saratech in one form or another since March 2001.
Yeah, and it's been awesome. Matt is definitely our whiz kid, our resident whiz kid. He is an amazing programmer, just a great person to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Before we continue, Michael, I really wanted to touch on about the podcast, because people at this point are listening and going, what the heck are these people doing? This is a technology podcast. What we want to accomplish with the podcast is we want you to feel that you know us, that you can pick up the phone and that you can talk to us, and that you've got a friend in the technology industry that is not so much talking down to you or talking at you, but when you pick up the phone and you call someone on this team, that you're going to talk with us and that we're going to understand your issues. I want you to understand that everybody here is kind of a geek at heart, definitely very knowledgeable in technology, and this podcast is not just kind of a Saratech soapbox. It really is not what we intend to do. It's not an infomercial as to how we work and what our latest features are. Obviously, this podcast is kind of focused on version 3.0 because it's like the latest thing we've done, right? What you're going to find from the Saratalk podcast and from the Saratalk community we hope to build through Saratalk.com is really a group of people that have information to share with us, with one another, as to how they're living that digital lifestyle. The digital lifestyle is something that we at Saratech take very seriously. And we all run around with cell phones and with PDAs and with notebooks. And even now, thanks to products like SA2Go, we run around with nothing. We just go up to public computers and are able to make them talk and freak out the people around us going, where'd you make that? How'd you do that?
In that way, cool nano.
Yeah, that's true, too. And we're going to talk about things on this podcast that may or may not have to do with Saratech. We are not afraid to talk about JAWS for Windows. We're not afraid to talk about GW Micro's WindowEyes product or Dolphin or Zoom Text or anything else. It really has to do with being blind and using technology. And we want you to be able to know that there are a plethora of tools available to you as a blind consumer. And we want to be able to make you aware of those. And and some way, somehow, our goal is to weave our way into your digital lifestyle somewhere. And we believe that whether it be for entertainment purposes, for educational purposes, whether it be for even your work-related tasks, somewhere, somehow, you're going to find a way to work Saratech into your life. Don't be surprised if we say, you know, JAWS for Windows might work for that better, or you know, or GW Micro's product, WindowEyes, may work better for that. Do give us your feedback. This is our first podcast, so we're all kind of getting used to getting the groove together. Very few of us have any radio experience, and that's really not what we're trying to produce here, is a radio broadcast. What we're trying to do is produce something that's fun, that you can feel that you're a part of, and that you like to listen to every couple of weeks when it shows up in your podcatcher.
There's 10 new features. A lot of people always want to know when there's a 0.0 version, in this case 3.0. What's the new features? What have you guys added or really updated? Well, there's 10 new features that come to mind. There's always little things behind the scenes, and 7 that I'm personally excited about. Take 10.0 and subtract 7.0, we come up with the ultimate solution of 3.0. Oh, that's not an infomercial.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
And you can have 3.0 for the low, low price of... Anyway.
Wait, it's included in your subscription.
It's included, right.
So there's no low, low price. It's just keep up your subscription and you get the new version. That's an interesting point that we bring up, all kidding aside, about the updates and how they work. People say, well, you know, do you guys have a maintenance agreement or whatever? We kind of address the whole maintenance issue and update issue in a little different fashion than everybody else. Since we are a cloud application, a Web 2.0 application, kind of an application that resides on the internet and then kind of worms its way down into your computer,
hopefully worms very nicely.
Yeah,
the basement owns your box.
Isn't that what it says in the background of the essay working sound?
What we're talking about here is just updates. One of the things really cool about version 3.0 is that we've kind of gotten rid of the whole update cycle. There's new features available. Go here, download them, install them, and hope for the best. We have really made the update process seamless. When an update is available, it's just quietly downloaded in the background to your computer, and it is installed the next time you start a Serotech product. Once it's installed, you get a little email in your email box that says, hey, we've installed fixes, or we've installed features, or fixes and features. And that's it. So really, we're not waiting for a version 3 or a version 4 or a version 5. Although we've been calling this version 3, I don't think that going forward we're going to really refer to, oh, I've got version 3 point this or version 4 point that. It really just has to do with a product that is constantly evolving. Those of you that are currently using our product know that we do product updates quite frequently, and right now after version 3.0 and some challenges that some folks have found across the, you know, some bumps in the road, we're doing a few more updates, and which is giving us a great opportunity to demonstrate and to show off our seamless software update features. As long as you maintain a network subscription, and a network subscription is $129 a year, and not only does it include keeping your software up to date, but it includes tons and tons of content. Also includes web services like remote control of your home computer, connecting to other people's computers, and helping with theirs. We are the first in the industry that provided any kind of accessible remote access to another computer, whether it's got adaptive technology installed or not.
For no extra cost, by the way.
It's a very cool thing. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that is available in version 3 is the ability to use the very service that we're using right now, the very voice over internet protocol type of stuff, the VoIP stuff that we're using right now to do this podcast, to be able to do live training with people. So there, you know, not only did we create that type of access, but we're also raising the bar on it by saying, hey, you don't need to use anything else but our software, and you can in a microphone, and you can communicate with people anywhere. And because our software is the only piece of software that is available off the internet and doesn't require any kind of mirror drivers or anything else to be installed, you can run it from just about anywhere. Now, yes, that comment was a little self-serving. I accept it. I did it. Now what?
But when we use the word only, we also have to talk about our new support for 64-bit, because I got an email from someone saying, my dad bought me the latest awesome computer, but I can't use it with any technology. Well, that has changed.
Can you imagine that? Walking into a Best Buy and getting all excited about getting your new toy, and you get it home, you open up the box, and you turn on the thing and you're trying to install some access technology and it doesn't work. Well, luckily now people no longer have to worry about that.
I had that happen with a customer, actually.
Yeah, and so now many, many retailers are stocking exclusively 64-bit OS-enabled machines, and now users don't ever have to worry about whether or not this new toy that they get is going to be accessible, because it certainly is with System Access.
And really, it's up to us as adaptive technology providers to give people the widest level of access to different products without them having to worry about it. I mean, a sighted person doesn't have to worry about if Windows is going to work for them. Yeah, they just walk up and they use it. Also, for folks that are dealing with server environments, 2008, with Windows Server 2003, the ability to install it right from the web, we've also been able to eliminate the need for installation packages.
Now you don't even have to think about it. Just go to SA2Go. And
That is so cool.
Yeah, you can get the software installed on your machine automatically.
One of the things that Michael's going to be bringing to the table, I think, is that's going to be really cool is a lot more audio demos. We've been very shorthanded here at Serotech for the last couple of years as we've grown, and everybody's kind of wearing multiple hats. And now that Michael's here and able to put together a lot more tutorials. We don't believe in charging people for everything. We really want your user experience to be, we want your costs to be fixed. We want you to know what you're going to spend out of pocket. And that's why we offer different packages that range from as little as $24.95 a month to you know, a full buyout of our software. And we don't penalize you for using our software as a service. It's just a matter of knowing what your costs are going to be, being able to contain them, and still knowing that you're going to have the educational materials that you need, and they're going to be available to you. Audio demos and things are going to be available to us through Michael over there.
Yeah, I mean, there are a great number of people who are extremely happy with what they have, but unfortunately they use about a tenth of it because they aren't aware of all of the cool things that you actually can do. And Michael is certainly going to help with that in portraying what we do in a very exciting and informative manner, so yay.
Yeah, I really am excited about doing these audio tutorials, because when I start reading the manuals and coming on board, I found features that I didn't know of. So when we can put that in kind of a walkthrough tutorial type fashion, a lot of folks can get the full power out of the technology, so that'll be very exciting. Another biggie here is great support for the latest browsers, be that Firefox or the new Internet Explorer 8.0. A lot of times people want to use Firefox because it works with particular websites or IE.
Yeah, Matt, you should tell us a little bit about Aria and the different things that we're going to be experiencing in Firefox and in beta. Well, right now it's in beta, but soon to be released, Internet Explorer 8.
One of the most exciting new web accessibility technologies to come along in a while is ARIA, which stands for Accessible Rich Internet Applications. And it allows dynamic HTML applications, also known as AJAX or Web 2.0, to provide accessibility information about their user interfaces to assistive technologies such as ours by way of extra HTML markup. So if a web application has a fancy kind of button, for example, or a menu, it can let the AT know that that's a button or a menu, and we can deal with it appropriately. Another exciting feature of ARIA is ARIA Landmarks, which provide a quick way to jump to important parts of the page, such as the navigation links or the beginning of content. ARIA Live Regions help AT figure out how to automatically speak changes to the page, which are very common in AJAX or Web 2.0 applications. These features are supported in both Firefox and the current beta of Internet Explorer 8.
It's always exciting to see all the things that are happening with ARIA and iAccessible 2 and with UI automation, all these different standards that are kind of being released by the big players in the industry, in the regular IT industry, that will enhance the accessibility options for blind folks and for developers of adaptive technology like ourselves. It really cuts the time of development, and which is really one of the big reasons we're able to bring you an economical piece of software, is because of initiatives that are taken by the community at large to embrace these technologies and say, you know, this is a standard that we're going to use. And once you write your screen reader or your adaptive technology to embrace this particular protocol, it in theory at least, and in practice for the most part, it really does work better and should ultimately make the cost of adaptive technology come down. I do know that's a weird thing, is to hear that the cost of adaptive technology should come down. But as Serotech has been able to demonstrate over and over again, we've been alive and well for 8 years, and we haven't had to charge $1,100 for a copy to do that. It's a very important understanding to have that market and the industry is maturing, it's changing. And as I've been fond of saying in the past, adaptive technology is not a religion. We don't need to be dogmatic about, oh, I use this or I only use that. Hey, if somebody's got a new version, if JAWS 10 is the latest thing that you've heard about, go try it. If Windows 7 is the latest thing you've heard about and you think that it might fit your need, go try it. If System Access 3 is what you want, try it. I mean, all of us provide demos. All of us provide a solution. And, of course, we all want you to use our technology. We don't care if you use us exclusively or not. We believe that not only can we provide you help from 9 to 5, but from 5 to 9 as well. And we're excited about, you know, innovations like ARIA and different types of things that are being provided for us, especially online. We've been doing AJAX support for quite some time, but I can tell you, and I'm sure Matt would agree, that it's been kind of on a site-by-site basis, and we've had to do a lot of tweaking behind the scenes and under the hood. And it's technologies like our Seesaw technology, which have enabled us to, if there's something wrong with Gmail or something wrong with Songza or with one of the different services that we provide, Salesforce.com or Pandora or Facebook or any of these that we provide access to, if there's a problem with the AJAX, we can just simply update them through Seesaw and without even having to provide a person an update to their software. So we will be working with Firefox version 3.04, is it?
Yes, 04.
Yeah, and probably by the time this podcast hits the street, that will be out already. We do not work with previous version 3.02 or 3, I believe.
Correct.
Of Firefox. Something got broke. Something got broke, did you?
Yeah, they broke it. We didn't break it.
They broke it. And we brought it to their attention.
Their fault.
And they done fixed it. Firefox does fit the bill for certain things. And all of us now, all the adaptive technologies work with Firefox and with Internet Explorer at differing degrees of, shall we say, goodness or usability or whatever. Not everything works for what you're going to need, and there's 50 different ways to skin a web page.
You know, regardless of what access technology you use, people should be demanding their providers address the Web 2.0 and the AJAX to give accessibility to these sites, because that's where technology is going.
It would be unfortunate if AT vendors were to say, well, we're going to sort of stick in the past and support text-only web pages. That isn't realistic. As things move forward, we're having all sorts of newfangled features on web pages that are visually appealing and are certainly functional for blind people as well if the access technology works with them.
Well, cloud computing is definitely something that Serotech is very much in favor of. Cloud computing is a real fancy term for simply keeping your applications on the internet and being able to download them to your location, wherever it may be, regardless of what computer or what access technology, and I don't mean in an accessibility standpoint, I just mean what form of getting on the internet you're using, whether it be a cell phone, whether it be a PDA. And to that end, we've done some things to our network, for example, like our simplified menus. One of the things that you're going to find in version 3 that we rolled out is something that we call the simplified menu structure. And that is on our System Access Mobile Network, which is a network of millions of pieces of content, not to mention the fact that you can aggregate your email, you can instant message, you can do chats like what we're doing here. There's a whole community thing that we are doing at Serotech that's called the System Access Mobile Network. In the past, it's been just a flat web page, which has been very easy to navigate. You use your arrow keys, you use a tab key, shift tab key, yada, yada, yada. But what we found is that if we introduced a simplified user interface in the form of, and what we've done is we've actually converted, if you load this simplified user interface from your preferences, what it does is it turns everything into this list view that for power users, you can just hit the first letter of what it is you're looking for. And for folks who are not power users and don't know the keyboard very well, all they got to do is up and down arrow through the list of options on the network, press enter, and if they want to go back a menu, all they got to do is do the backspace key. When they encounter information like an RSS article or some sort of blog entry or whatever, it opens up into a regular web page, and then they simply hit escape, and they're right back to where they were in their simplified menus. The byproduct of that has also been that you can use these simplified menus on things like a cell phone, a PDA, if you have a Braille Note or a Braille Sense or a PacMate. You can basically have access to all of these simplified menus and really be able to navigate around. Early next year, we will be providing access to that for the Icon and Braille Plus as well, so that users of that platform will be able to enjoy it as well. Users of the Braille Plus and the Icon will continue to experience our current user experience, but we will be bringing simplified menus to an Icon or Braille Plus near you.
And let's not forget the Wind.
The Wind is an interesting thing because that really brings us to portable devices. The MSI Wind is a notebook that we've been touting for a while. It just got a group out of the UK called Pocket Lint just gave it Product of the Year. And
Did you say Pocket Lint?
I did. The Pocket Lint Award, Product of the Year Award, went to the MSI Wind. And what the MSI Wind is it's kind of a new breed of notebook. It's called a netbook. These are very low-power notebooks, very small. They weigh about 2.3, 2.4 pounds. The Winds that we sell and are available, of course, at your local retailer, people like you can buy them over at Best Buy or what have you. If you buy them from us, we configure them for you, and we give you nice discounts, and we'll like you because you buy it from us. But if you decide to buy it somewhere else, we actually provide a version that will run on that particular platform, and it is called the Atom platform, A-T-O-M. And the Atom platform, what it is it's a scaled-down processor that is put out by Intel that runs at 1.6 gigahertz. It's a single-core processor, very low power consumption. So with a 6-cell battery, you get about 5 hours, 5.5 hours of use out of it, depending on what you're running. If you're running a one of these Sprint cards, or if you're running Wi-Fi or whatever, but it and how intense your screen is and blah blah blah. It's a great little unit, and the cool thing about these netbooks is most of them the pricing tends to be under $600, under $500, depending on where you buy them, how you get them. Right now, we're actually running, at the time of this podcast, we're running a package that includes an MSI Wind with the 3-cell battery, not the 6-cell, the 3-cell battery, which still gives you about 3 hours of use, 2.5, 3 hours of use, a 120 gig hard drive, 1 gig of RAM, System Access Mobile, System Access Mobile Network. That's a lot of money in product, all for $999. So as you can see, the ability to sell these things dirt cheap really makes it possible for people to have that extra computing device that they carry with them. That is another place where the simplified menu really works well. You can put these units to sleep. You just close the lid. You open it up. Within a couple of seconds, your screen is back. I mean, this thing is, I remember one of the big things I used to love about the PacMate, about the Braille Note, my Braille and Speak, all these little portable devices that I've had at one time or another, is that it had instant on. And that was a big selling point for a lot of these companies, and still is in many respects. If you are looking for instant on, You can get that now through these netbooks, be it an EEE PC from Asus, be it one of these netbooks, be it an Aspire.
My personal favorite, the Dell Mini.
Yeah, you know, the Dell Mini is an awesome box. I have one here, and that is Matt's favorite. The only thing I don't like about the Dell Mini is that it the function keys are part of the home row. So you have to do this weird thing to – you have to hit a function, you know, an FN to get the F1 through F10, and then you're still missing F11 and 12. But besides that, it's a very solidly built machine. Dell did a great job, and they sell for, what, like $439 or $449 bucks, and it's got a solid-state hard drive in it, a little 16 gig, or you can get them like as small as, I think, 4 or 8 gigs. So really, you know, these are not necessarily meant to be your primary machine, although I would say that the wind out of all of these devices due to its keyboard is probably one of the machines that I would be the most comfortable with. I'm about to look at an HP. HP put out a netbook at one point called the 2133 that had the nicest keyboard I've ever seen on one of these portable devices. It was just a dog, man. It was slow as heck. It came with 2 gigs of RAM, 120 gig hard drive, and Windows Vista. It was the basic edition, and it just crawled. I wiped it. I put XP on it. It was faster, but it was still a dog. And HP just put out something called the Mini 1000, which I'm waiting for the 6-cell battery to come out for it.
Yeah, it's currently available only in 3-cell.
Yeah, and when, once it comes
the,
out.
The performance problem with the 2133 was largely because of the VSC7 processor, which is now via its previous generation.
Yeah, it's true. It seems like once you get the thing in your house, then here comes another one, you know, and but still via,
you know, the case.
Yeah, but I was hoping, because I've looked at via, and back when we were doing other products at Serotech, we looked at doing set-top box type stuff, and we were using the via chipset, and it's always been a dog. And I was hoping that, well, if HP did it, maybe it's because it's a better product. And I think I honestly think that HP did it to get the jump on the Atom processor, because it had not been released at the time. Now that the Atom processor is out, HP has also jumped on the bandwagon. It is really sad that this particular device, which has now been retired to educational use, according to the HP website, which God knows what that means. That's a really scary thing.
Technical question comes up here, though. You know, when a product is bad, why is it a dog? Why is it never a cat?
Well, because cats are cool. That machine is a cool cat, as opposed to being...
I've got a cool dog, thank you very much. I have a great dog.
I have a lot of people listening.
A lot of people listening to this podcast have great dogs.
How many people have ever been able to put a harness on a cat?
How
many people do you know who have seeing eye cats?
Yeah, well,
I think they would fall asleep on the job. It'd probably be pretty dangerous.
Well, and I don't want to be dangling out of a tree because it got scared.
Yeah, I mean, mine keeps encountering mouse distractions, but we're working on it.
I've always wanted a guide lion, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do have guide horses.
Guide lions
would be cool.
I went to a Florida Council of the Blind thing here, and this guy came in with his guide horse, and
I was tripping out on that.
I was just like, wait a minute. I have enough trouble getting my dog into a restaurant. Can you write, excuse me, ma'am, can I park my horse here?
This is the thing that really got me is, you know, we listen to, oh, look at the doggy when you walk in the store. Could you imagine? Oh, mommy, I want to go for a ride on the horsey.
And then you would hear Mike start breaking out in a chorus of, we're the king of the forest.
Serotech Corporation, the ADD people. These netbooks are really awesome to use.
Just to throw one more into the mix, Mike, I went with the Asus 1000HA, $399 with 160 gig hard drive, 1 gig of RAM. Let me ask you, because mine, you know, came up, it had the sound support, so it played a little music. I ran Narrator, filled out the little thing, and loaded System Access, and off I went. So have all the devices you played with gave you sound out of the box so you could configure it without any sighted help?
For the most part, you do get Narrator, although Matt has informed me that that's not always the case. How does that work, Matt, as far as out-of-box? Is it always available? Is Narrator always available from the beginning?
I didn't try to use Narrator from the beginning on mine because I had sighted help, which I really needed because the Dell Mini is unusual because when you power it on for the first time, it gives you a couple of screens of information about tech support and terms of service, stuff like that. And those seem to be at the BIOS level before Windows even boots up for the first time.
Once you get that little Windows music that goes on, you know, where you get that very quiet, at least for me, I've heard it playing, and when I've gotten a new computer and I'm like, is that coming from the computer? As you move around, it goes ding, 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 in different pitches, you know. Yeah. But yeah.
I also wondered what it was doing when it did that.
I don't know.
At the beginning of the out-of-box experience, there's a little animation on the first screen in particular. There's a little animation apparently trying to show you how to hit the next button.
Asus is actually the first company that ever came out with these netbooks.
They're the pioneer, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great product. It sold millions of them, and it's just become a trend. I've recently been spotted using something called an MID, or a mobile internet device. If you ever want to read about that, just do a Google search on P8860, and it's made by a company out of China called Ego. They're interesting. Yeah, Lego my ego. And hey, listen, I didn't make the company, okay? And
by the way, in case anyone's curious, Ego means patriot.
Yeah. Ah. So it's the Patriot 8860. It's not like a missile. And I guess it could be a missile if you throw it at people. It's actually a very cool device.
P88, it sounds more like a rifle, doesn't it? What kind of bullets
Internet
do you need?
Internet access and the power.
Hey, Mike, you'll be in 7-7 when they become waterproof.
Well, the thing about the P8860 is that it is a lot like... stop that. The thing about the P8860 is it looks a lot like one of these 6700 phones, from Verizon or from Sprint. It's the one of those HTC slider phones that you know that kind of slides out and you got the keyboard under it.
Oh, like the Samsung Blackjack and that.
Yeah, it's like that kind of, but the more along the HTC kind of form factor.
Okay. Yeah.
Where the phone kind of slides out, that the screen slides back, and under it there's a very small keyboard. But the difference here is you can run Windows XP on it, and it's an Atom chip as well, but it's running at 800 megahertz instead of the 1.6 gigs. I have one. I've played with it. I've used it. I've really tried to live with it. I don't find it to be the most practical thing in the world. The wow factor on it is neat. People look at it and go, wow, what's that? It's in my, as my son said, Dad, that's either a really big phone or a really small computer. And that's really kind of the way that I look at it. It just didn't give me any kind of excitement level besides that. Not to mention that the P8860 is kind of cheaply made. It's cheap plastic, very reminiscent of toys. For me, at least, the jury's still out on kind of these mobile internet devices. But again, the market is always changing. And if anything that we hope to do with this podcast is just to bring that information to you. Everybody here plays with stuff. We've all been, you know, playing with various different things. I know Brian just got the new fourth generation iPod.
That is way cool.
Yeah, it is very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've been using that with System Access and the iTunes support. Many, many props to the National Federation of the Blind, to GW Micro, to Apple, to all the people that have really worked to make that product that allowed companies like Freedom Scientific and Serotech to jump on the bandwagon and go, yeah, now we can provide the access too. You know, what we did at Serotech is we really took the minimal, I guess, support. Apple did what it had to do. I'm sure that GW came to them with a very detailed document of what they had to do, and they've rolled out part of it, I'm sure, in hopes of getting us all the support they could as quickly as possible. But there's still more to come, as has been reflected on the NFB's page and the review of the pending legal action against Apple, were they not to do this. The settlement, I guess it was called. If I've used the wrong legal terminology, forgive me. But
sue me.
No, don't sue me. There's enough of that going on. We are very excited about what iTunes means again, because we can also participate in the digital lifestyle, and we're not using a blind ghetto product. We're using a product that the mainstream is using. You can walk into an Apple store, you can buy your Nano, you could take it home, and no matter whose technology you use, listen, if you like the way we do iTunes better, by all means, use us. If you like the way JAWS does it, or you like the way Window Eyes does it, use them. The fact is that we all support it. It's very cool. And as a blind person, you can walk in and go, well, I want a purple Nano, or I want a red Nano, or I want a pink one. And you can buy it. You can have it engraved at the Apple store with whatever cheesy little message you want, you know, and personal electronic there. And that's
it's
all due to...
bling for blinks now.
Yeah, bling for blinks.
Don't you?
Yeah.
And,
be careful. They're very small and easy to lose.
Yeah, they are. And they're very light. The
blinks
the wheel,
or the Nano?
you know what I've been trying to figure out on that thing is how do I make the wheel less sensitive, because I really want to cut down on the sensitivity.
I don't think there's a sensitivity switch, Mike. I think there's a click, both click or no click, but no senso.
How about the refreshable Braille support with the Alva BC640, and hopefully I can talk Mike into sending it yours to me so that I can give it a play and do a tutorial of it, but I know you and Matt have been working extensively with it. An awesome device, because going beyond the scope of a Braille display where you actually have audio, so there's a speaker in the device and built-in optional keyboard element there, so that this whole device not only gives you Braille display, but the ability to do all your typing and listen to audio from the PC.
It's the first blindness device that embraces just the Windows human interface protocol. So what that means is you can plug this Braille device into your computer without installing any drivers. And obviously, provided you have a piece of adaptive technology installed that's looking for a Braille display, it will find the Braille display and use it. But the operating system will recognize it as an external peripheral. It will recognize it for what it is, as a human interface device. And the adaptive technology, in this particular case being System Access, will run. There's a couple of different ways to introduce System Access to the host system that this BC640 is connected to. One of them is the BC640 has an onboard flash drive, a couple of gig flash drive, that when you push the button on the side of the unit, what it does is Windows wakes up and says, oh, you plugged in a flash drive. And in the auto run on the flash drive, the first thing that comes up is run System Access Mobile. Now, the catch-22 here, unfortunately, is at that point you don't have any speech. You just have to kind of stand by faith that your cursor is on that. But it will work, and at that point, sound will start to come out through the speakers on the Alva BC640, and you will have a complete accessible workstation right there. If you'd rather, you can go to www.sa2go.com, run it from there, run System Access from there, and if the Alva is plugged in, it'll recognize it, and of course do the same stuff and run appropriately. So one way or the other, it will work for you, and you can have accessibility on the go. And this is particularly cool when you encounter systems that don't have sound cards, or that don't have speakers, or that you can't find a pair of headphones. Besides the fact that you have Braille output on this BC640, you also have its own built-in sound card that Windows sees and makes the default. And if you're dealing with one of these, for example, in the hotels, sometimes they have computers there, and they're regular Windows computers, but there's no sound card, or there's no speakers, at least, connected to the sound card. And when you plug the BC640 in, it takes over the audio if you have this optional feature pack that attaches to the top of the unit. And it's like a $500 add-on. And at that point, hey, if you're spending $5,000, what's another $500 to get the Braille display? Unfortunately, Braille is quite costly. It's not for everyone. Although Braille literacy is down, I hope to see the cost of Braille go down so that more people can embrace it. I'd like to see more students using Braille out of the box. And I think that for any product to get more widespread use, costs need to come down. It needs to be available to everyone. And right now, I know that, especially in today's economic times, it's going to be very difficult for a lot of school systems to pony up $5,000 or $6,000 for a Braille display. And especially for, I mean, that's school systems. Let's not even talk about individuals. I mean, I cringe at thinking at $5,000 or $6,000 for a Braille display. And that's and the price, that's kind of the median point. You can get them as low as a couple grand, or you can go up to an 80 cell display, which is what, like $10,000 or $11,000. I mean, oh, it's easy. Insane. It's insane. So,
especially,
you know, but
Poppenmeyer.
Yeah, but these are very specialized devices. I mean, I understand that is the case. I'm not a big advocate of, oh, but we're a small market, so the prices need to be. No, that's not true. We're not a small market. There are millions of blind people worldwide. Thank you very much. But the fact is that there aren't millions of blind people worldwide that have Braille skills. I fully embrace and applaud efforts by folks like the National Federation and the American Foundation for the Blind, APH, that are enhancing Braille literacy worldwide and really trying to bring it to everybody, to all children worldwide. Because really, as cool as computers are and all of that, at the end of the day, a sighted person, there's nothing easier for a sighted person to use than a pen and pencil, and there is nothing easier for a blind person to use than a slate and stylus. Very low-tech. I know it's or a Brailler or whatever. There's a bunch of different low-tech solutions for creating Braille that don't require electricity and that you can carry in your pocket. And Braille literacy is very, very important. So that's my soapbox for the day.
How about this new awesome online document scanning capability? Of course, for those who may not know, members of the System Access Mobile Network have the ability to have access to their home server, their home computer. So if you're out in the field and you find a web page or a file, you can send it right to your home machine to review it at a later time. And now we've come up with another awesome innovation to be able to do this with document scanning. Talk about that.
Well, we've been doing document scanning for quite some time. The thing that separates our document scan from all others, I guess, is that if you're using a U3 key, and the reason that it has to be with a key is because the document scanning engine is huge, and we can't deliver that via SA2Go very well. SA2Go, as is written here in my agenda, is 75% smaller, which means it will now go onto your computer 75% faster, in 25% of the time it took before. But document scan is quite huge. And if it's on your key and you encounter a computer out in the field, be it a library or whatever, at a friend's house, and you want to scan a document, you can scan it right there and you can store it on your key. You can put it up on the cloud for later retrieval. Or you can even take it, save it on your key, and upload it to your home computer. So what we've done in version 3 with Document Scan is just made the product a lot more flexible in the fact that you do it. And again, when you know, people say, well, how does it compare to Kurzweil, or how does it compare to Open Book? It is not as feature-rich as these products. These products are awesome. They've got a gazillion different things you can do with a document that you scan. At Serotech, we like to keep it simple, silly. And we like you to be able to just throw something on the scanner, hit a key, and it'll read it to you. How unique. And then if you want to save it, you save it. And if you want to delete it, you delete it. And if you want to scan another page, you scan another page. That's all we do. It's very vanilla, very straightforward. We at Serotech believe that ultimately most, if not all, of our communications will be done electronically as the world tries to get greener, and as information just gets easier to provide electronic information. We see scanning becoming less and less necessary for a blind person, but even when it is necessary, again, we don't believe that it should cost you $1,000 to do it. So that's why we provide a $159 scanning package that you pay for it once. It doesn't hurt. And it comes along with all updates for all of our products, whether you have one or you have 50 of our products, all come included in your annual subscription. And I don't want to confuse people with our subscription prices, but let it suffice to say that it's $129 a year, and you get everything. And if for more information on that, you can visit the Serotech webpage. But that's really what the cool things are about this document scan and the 75% smaller footprint.
Yeah, that's awesome. It loads very, very quickly now. So we encourage anyone, if you've tried the technology before, to come back and have another play with 3.0. I think you'll be blown away. Now, another thing auto-updating, as cool as that is this auto-repair capability, the ability to realize that, hey, reading software or screen reading software, access technology software has become corrupted in some form, so let's just go out, talk to the network, and get it fixed.
System Access to Go has just gotten a lot smarter in the fact that you can now run www.sa2go.com from any Windows Run dialog. And from there, once you have logged in, you know, once you've gone through the prompts and your prompts and you've logged in, once you have the SA Mobile desktop up, you can go to the home network screen, you can go to the My Account settings. System Access now is smart enough to know if you have System Access on your local computer. If it sees it there, it offers you a repair option. If it doesn't see it, it offers you an install. If it sees an older version, it offers you an update link. So it's a very smart, but the coolest thing about this of all, in this I'm speaking as a support person now rather than, by the way, everybody becomes tech support when in this case, because when somebody's running SA2Go and they need to have it either uninstalled, reinstalled, whatever, you can actually, once you're running SA2Go, you can use the remote feature, you can see the person on the network, to log into their machine, type in their username, account number with their permission, of course. Once they accept your request, you can actually go uninstall the local version should you need to, and you're still running SA2Go. You can then reinstall it right with SA2Go running, and it is the coolest one of the neatest innovations that I have personally seen in my over 10 years in this particular AT industry.
Yeah, and it doesn't require a Serotech technician. I mean, anybody who has network access, any registered network user, can connect, and that can include one of dozens of trainers that you may have available to you in your local.
And that's one of the things. A lot of people who don't use our products think that we're going to if they want remote access, we're going to charge them $100 a month. That's not true. Every single System Access user. Now, not necessarily the SA Mobile users who don't have System Access, but every single System Access user has remote capability. So with your $129 per year subscription, you get the ability to do remote access for support, for training. You guys can get out there in the community and help each other.
Yeah, and that's really important because, I mean, even if you don't, what the network subscription allows you to do, and this gets a little confusing, so, I mean, if you have questions, do send them to us or call us or what have you, and we'll clarify. But if you do have a network subscription, then you can initiate and receive connections from people who can help you with your technology. Yes. If you do not have a network subscription, for whatever reason, you've decided to buy one of our products and not subscribe to our network, which is fine as well. You can still be connected to by anybody out there in the field that has a network subscription. And we've had that for years now. We've been doing remote access for quite some time. And as Richard said, it's not $100 a month. The biggest problem with Serotech products, I think, is that we are constantly innovating and we're constantly putting new stuff out there. I apologize that we're just, so creative that we are constantly bombarding the market with new ideas and new stuff. We are very zealous about what we do. We're excited about putting products out there that are going to enhance your digital lifestyle. It's not about just making a buck. It really is about making your online, offline, your computing life a lot easier. So when we come up with a new concept, we like to put it out there. And a lot of times, we have shot ourselves in the foot because we put a product out there and the community is just overwhelmed with, well, what is this and what is that? And the $100 for access, what Richard is talking about is a product that is called Remote Incident Manager, which is an enterprise product that is used by trainers and by tech support staff to connect to people's computers remotely that may or may not have a Serotech product. If you have JAWS for Windows, if you have Window Eyes, if you have HAL, Zoom Text, any of this stuff, Magic, we can, using RIM, we can connect to your machine, or a trainer, subscriber to RIM, can connect to your machine and repair it, train you on it, work with you on it, fix it. With version 2.0 of RIM that will be out next year, we will be introducing voice over IP technology to RIM as well. It is really the closest thing to go to my PC or go to assist that's available in the market. And the price at $100 a month for a trainer or a training facility doesn't break the bank, and it just saves thousands and thousands of dollars in travel, hundreds of hours in training, because you can just get into a consumer's machine, fix it, and be gone. Even if you have sighted colleagues that you need to work on their machines, and you work in an enterprise type of situation where you deal with thousands of external PCs and you need to connect to them because you do tech support or what have you, they never know that there's a blind person working on the other side. They don't need to install any AT, which is currently the issue with any AT-based remote accessibility tool. This is where Remote Incident Manager is different. And I hope I have not confused anybody too badly. We will be giving you contact information at the end of the podcast so that you can ask any questions. And, of course, you can always give us a call and leave us a voicemail rant and say, hey, man, you know, speak clearly. Define what you're saying.
But to further confuse the issue, if you don't mind, if a person, if both of you do have Ceratec products, but you do have other AT technology, say you got somebody that needs an adjustment in JAWS and Window Eyes, we can do that as well. We support, in our remote stuff, we support JAWS and Window Eyes if they're running that on their machine.
Yeah, and that's a big difference between us, for example, and JAWS Tandem that was just released. JAWS Tandem only works with other JAWS, and I believe it's going to work with Magic in the future. That's a right. big difference between JAWS Tandem and System Access Remote Access. Their product is proprietary. It only works with their solution. We really want to work with everything out there. If you're using Kurzweil, if you're using any of these products that speak, they're going to speak through our product. Whatever screen reader you use, it's going to speak through our product. And we're going to be product agnostic, if you will. Or it's brand agnostic.
It's called cooperation.
Yes. Coopetition. That's a new 21st century word.
Coopetition. I like
that.
We just made a new word.
We're really excited about JAWS Tandem. We think it's going to change the world for a lot of JAWS users. But at the end of the day, it only works with JAWS or with Freedom Scientific products. Our solution does not. Our solution reaches out and works with everybody's products.
Everybody.
Now, on the subject of speaking more clearly, we have some new Neo Speech voices.
It is responsive. It's interesting to see the new Neo Speech. It's kind of taken, you know, 10 steps forward and 2 steps back. In beta testing, we had some very interesting scenarios where we've had to manipulate the way that Paul says things. And one of the things that is on the roadmap, and I don't think it's going to be... within the next couple of weeks, it'll definitely be out in the next few months, is a pronunciation dictionary, because Paul still has his problem getting words out. Like the word the is quite an interesting thing, because it goes bleh.
don't even
slight speech
what about
impediment.
Blag. For blog, you know.
Yeah, blag.
Paul is clearly a yank.
We definitely love the Neo Speech voices. They're very human. They are portable. You can keep them on your U3 drive, and you can take them from computer to computer with you.
Kate doesn't seem to have the issues with speech that Paul does.
She's a woman. She speaks clearly. Ask any guy. We're bears with furniture, man.
Is Kate going to become available for the Nano?
Kate is available for the Nano if you have a sappy version of Neo Speech installed from somewhere.
Well, 1,000 people.
Yeah, then you're going to be able to use that for iTunes. We are currently hooking and hacking and trying to figure out a way to make your System Access version of Neo work with your Nano. It is not in existence yet, but there are certainly more options for the iPod Nano than just Microsoft XAM.
I think you can also get those Paul and Kate voices, what they call them, 16A or whatever, through the Next Up Technologies, like the News Aloud,
yes.
Text Aloud. You can get the voices there and install them.
Yep.
And then they're under.
Yeah, you have to own one
options.
Of their products. But yeah. Once you own one of their products, 1,000. Then it's you can definitely use that. But System Access does take advantage in iTunes, and we use that to send voice information to the Nano.
Now he's trying to mimic Mork.
See, now you've dated yourself, my friend.
I have, haven't I?
Well, it's a, Mike, Raymond dating himself is a nasty job, but someone has to do it.
Let Richard talk about All in Play.
You'll be hearing a segment on that, of it actually happening, but through the cooperative spirit, again, Saratech and All in Play have worked together to make their products and ours compatible. And in 3.0, all you have to do is, in your speech option on the All in Play tables, and those of you who use it will understand this, choose the No Preference option, and Saratech voices will speak. Your system access software will speak. You'll be able to navigate in the chat window.
You can use our chat system as well, what we're using here, while
so
you're
you
in All
taunt
in Play.
Your players.
Well, folks, since we've reached the 1 hour mark, let's go ahead and play this 6 minute segment and come back for final comments and contact information and wrap this bad boy up.
All right. Welcome to the Saratech podcast.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, I don't know if
hey, everybody. How you doing?
Yeah, hi.
How's your mom and Nan? Tell us where you're from there. Nan, you go first.
Yeah, I'm Nan. I've been with Saratech System Access since 2005, I think, and I live in Michigan.
And how long you been doing All in Play?
I've been doing All in Play since 2003.
Toonhead, where are you from?
I was from Illinois, but I just moved to Richmond, Virginia, and I have been doing All in Play since, 2004.
Tom's a newbie. Tom, tell us where you are and all that.
My name is Tom. I'm from Clearwater, Florida. I've been with Saratech System Access not quite a year.
Tom is still pretty new around here. My name is Richard Wells. I'm in Northeast Texas, and I have been a Saratech customer since really... Let's see, I want to say 2002. How would you all like to, have a little unfriendly game here?
Well, yeah, okay. Sounds good to me.
Sounds like
we have
plan.
To decide where we're going to go.
By the way, we're all going to be using our trusty system access for our poker.
That's yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks to the nice folks at All in Play and Saratech, between the collaboration, it has been a good one.
All in Play has a very aggressive membership. Please keep our community guidelines in mind so everyone can have fun. All in Play poker table 131 low stakes and 500 place test. If you're not Tom, log in as a different user. Who's playing?
Okay.
Click the player's name to read the profile. 131 low stakes and 500 place test. Visit the All in Play store to read about the tournament
sale.
All in Play poker table 131 low stakes
another,
and 500 place test.
Another hand here, coming up.
All in Play draw poker tab starting up now in another window. Running into any problems? All in Play poker table.
Yeah.
The winner has left.
Sure,
luckless calls. The buster won 20 chips with a pair of nines with king jack seven.
Hey, I only had a pair of nines.
With high. With king 10-4 free.
I know.
Well,
I haven't had anything
high.
Higher
king,
than
three,
ace,
10, five.
Ace high.
Eight hands, 9-10. You've got king spade, eight of diamonds, three of hearts, queen of spades, seven of clubs, zero call, makes 50.
Okay.
King five.
Oh my gosh.
Two of calls.
I didn't know exactly
seven
which cards
calls.
To get rid of, y'all. And I ain't saying it.
Three of hearts, queen of spades,
seven of cards.
You're discarding seven of clubs, discarding eight of diamonds, discarding three of hearts, three from you. You're dealt eight of hearts, queen of diamonds, three of spades.
Okay. You know, I was just thinking that might not be a bad idea to have a Saratech tournament.
It'd be good.
Yeah, it would be good.
Because they'd lower the prices of the tournaments now, so.
Yes.
For a limited time.
For a limited time.
Zero room to net.
And
oops.
Call today, and you can absolutely...
I ran out of time. Oops. Sorry, guys.
A likeless is discarded. Four room likeless.
You'll get a
but I, it was okay
zero
anyways.
Zero call, makes 50.
Uh-huh.
Two call.
I'm not
three
very good
calls. Build another call.
I'm at 1101, just so y'all know.
Two call. 50 call, makes 200.
I'm gonna win this.
Two call.
Uh-oh. I don't like the sound of that.
Likeless win 100.
I won!
She won! Alright!
Wow.
I guess you're not so luckless after all.
Yeah. The
8
on 5. The buster says, go girl. New hand.
Okay.
Calls. Build lover calls.
Here we go.
King high. King of spades. 4 of hearts. 10 of spades.
Oh
8 of spades. 3 of clubs. Likeless raises 50 chips. 50 calls. 50 calls. Make
right.
2 calls.
Here we go.
2 to raise 100.
Now we're starting to rock.
Oh, boy.
Likely calls. The buster calls. 100
wow.
calls.
I shouldn't, but against my better judgment, here goes.
Give me one of them sarsaparillas. Okay.
I got a good hand. Either that or I'm bluffing. You don't know.
2 room, 2 net.
That's true.
Okay.
I really shouldn't have.
Four
rooms of
cards.
discarding four of hearts. Four from you. You're dealt nine of spades, five of spades, ace of diamonds, ten of clubs, two head calls. What was raised 346 going on?
Oh my.
Not on this hand, no.
I had three aces.
Nice triple. Guess I won that one, huh?
New hand. Nine of hearts, okay. King of spades, two of clubs, queen of spades, golden lover call.
One more hand will do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for the folks who want to know, how many can be in a chat room here at a time?
I don't think there's a limit. I mean, I'm sure if you got 200, it might get a little confusing.
What's your call? Zero call, make two call. King high, two calls.
Yeah, but you can only have so many at a table.
Four group build lover.
Right, only five at a table, I think. But if or in some games, you can have eight, I think.
Yeah, the Texas Hold'em, you can have eight.
Just some cards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't do Hold'em.
Oh, it's great. It's fun.
Oh, Hold'em is great.
I did try it a long time ago.
It's fun, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Two of clubs. Queen of spades.
Let's do that.
Discarding three.
Maybe we'll do another.
Three of clubs. Three of clubs.
I'll have to practice.
It's high.
But you guys then will have to play.
You have 207 to chips. The current
battle champ. I don't know. I'm not any good at anagrams.
Oh, I'm so good at anagrams.
I can't even spell. I was 30 years old before I found out mother wasn't spelled .5M.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't think this hand is going to. You know, the weirdest contraction for me is the word as. I never could figure out.
I know.
I think that's 4-5-U is pretty weird.
Bye.
What's it called?
Wow.
Up to 140 ships with a 5 high break.
All right. Congratulations.
And on that note, folks, we are shutting this puppy down.
We are done.
Well, as you can see, you can have a lot of fun there. Now, with our voice chat technology, you can talk and harass each other all the while. Four games up there for you right now. Five-card draw poker, Crazy Eights, the very popular Texas Hold'em, or if you're more into the word game thing, they have Anagram. And what's cool is not only can you play blind and partially sighted folks, but you can also play your family members and friends, as it is also visually appealing. Coming in at just under $8 per month, there's hours and hours of amusement. So with that, let's take a final round of comments and put the wraps on the first of what I'm sure will be many awesome podcasts.
For our first podcast, this has been a lot of fun. And the podcast is going to be every 2 weeks. It's not always going to be all of us. Sometimes it'll be Michael and I. Sometimes it'll be Michael and Ricky. And Michael will always be here, though. He's doomed to be with this podcast forever.
He's the center of the universe, at least as far as this is concerned.
We all look forward to hearing from the listeners. And do tell people about the podcast.
People will share their own accessible digital lifestyle experiences. Because we have all the cool stuff that we enjoy doing, like All in Play and Facebook and that kind of thing, but we want to know what you guys are doing as well.
And don't forget the all-inclusive Victor stream.
Yes, everybody loves Victor.
Do we want to see if everyone can sing goodbye in harmony? Let's see how good this voice chat techno.
I was going to start singing Happy Trails.
Okay,
goodbye.
No, you don't want me to sing, guys. Goodbye.
Should I count off?
Goodbye.
That was awful.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.